The old saying, jack of all trades and master of none, can be taken as a good thing or a bad thing, depending on who you're talking to. However, our guest today shatters the notions either way, as he is a jack of all trades and a master of them all. From music to community building to the event that brings him on the show today, we talk to a true facilitator of art and culture. Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in for another episode of The Warehouse. I'm your host, Josh Johnson, and like always, I am joined by an incredibly special guest. You know, there's a lot of words that could describe a lot of people, but the only word that I thought was appropriate for somebody like today's guest was pioneer. We are joined by Darius Baker, who is belovedly known to this city as Doc D. Doc, I appreciate you joining us today.
Oh, man, it's such a pleasure to be on The Warehouse. Yes, indeed. First time, you know, felt kind of funny saying the pioneer. But
did it really?
Yeah, a little bit. I it wasn't until really this weekend. God has really been working with me lately, man, showing me how he's been using me in multiple ways. But I had an artist perform at the center, this past Saturday. And she said, you remember I was 16 when I performed at TNL, an artist by the name of Springtime. She was doing a concert on her own. She's very, very well established on her own. I said, okay. I said, how old are you now? 31. I said, oh, Lord. Lord. Matter of fact, I thought I had her number in my phone. Uh-huh. I had her mother's number. She was like, that'll make sense because I was, but here's my number now.
Still getting dropped off where she is.
Listen. I said, oh, my God.
So, yeah. You know, that's a perfect segue. For those listening who don't know what TNL is, or for those listening that think they know and they may not, Tallahassee Nights Live, let's start there. What is Tallahassee Nights Live? How did it start, and where are you at now with it?
Wow. Tallahassee Nights Live, about 21 years in the making. I've been saying 19, but no, it's documented about 21 years, a platform for musicians, singers alike, just to catapult to higher levels. We're just that professional platform. I'm a firm believer that you have artists around that they want to perform. They want to have that professional outlet with the backline, with the lights, with the right sound. And it's not many avenues for them to do that. It's a difference. I'm a church boy myself. The difference in performing in church or at talent shows and this and that, it's a difference when you perform on that stage, that main stage. You got to have mic placement, got to, you know, lighting, you got to, you know, the interaction with the audience and all that. So in doing that, it helps the artist and also provides quality live entertainment for the community.
You know, I came across something as I was doing a little research on you. You know, we've always referred to you as the Tallahassee Berry Gordy. You've been putting people on for years. But one of the things that I thought was interesting was all the work that you've done with people, you never thought it robbery to stay in Tallahassee. Yeah. You didn't have to go to Miami or LA or New York to make it happen. You've been able to kind of incubate from here. Talk to people that are starting out in the art and culture world that think that they have to flee to make it, how there is opportunities here.
Yeah, I mean, especially with social media and the avenues that that afford them now that we didn't have, even myself, you know, didn't have back then, you know, and I was, you know, doing my rap career and producing heavy. I still produce, but I was a lot more into it, you know, back then, didn't have those avenues. But you have kids from their home making, you know, six figures a year, whether it be through their podcast or whether it be through making tracks and selling them online and all types of things. So I'm a firm believer that, you know, if you do what you're doing now somewhere else, you're going to get the same results. You know, it's a mindset change.
You take yourself with you wherever you go.
Exactly. So change your mindset first, your work ethic, your habits, and then see where that takes you. I know plenty of artists who have moved to other cities only to come back here with the story of, man, I didn't know it was going to be that hard, you know, there, or the scene is not what I thought it would be. It's not, you know, it's not more musical. I've had people from Philadelphia to fly down to be on the TNL stage for free because I can't, you know, I can't pay for you to come down here, especially if you don't have a draw. But they see the clips, see what we're doing online, and say, hey, we want to be a part of that. And they say it's nothing like what you guys have here, where we're from. That was two guys from Philadelphia came down. So we have something special here.
The before we get into the anchor event that brings you here today, you brought up another good point. Now you're just making me want to run my mouth.
Let's talk.
You know, TNL has been around for a long time, since I was a little boy, since I was a young man. Now, in my mid-30s, it's still around.
Boy, it makes me feel old. Come on, man.
But one of the beautiful parts about it is its evolution has always been on an upward trend. It's never slanted downwards. Now, I'm sure behind the scenes you've got stories to tell that we wouldn't believe. Yeah. But where we see it now is with this humongous, beautifully designed, centrally located Performing Arts Center now bears the name of what used to be a kind of moving show that would used to go from the moon to the antique car museum.
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about how you got there and how you're sustaining, because you're just such a light for so many people.
Right. Well, big shouts out to Scott Carswell, man.
Sure.
That's I like to consider that the home of TNL, even though before then we were at the Ramada
the moon?
Inn. Yeah, the moon. I'm sorry.
I got you.
The moon. Before then we were at the Ramada Inn right there on North Monroe.
Oh, yeah.
Days
right
Inn now. You know, but back then it was there. From there we went to the Civic Center for a while, and then we grew to the moon where we were there for several years. And I still consider us to be there on our bigger shows that we do jointly. But God has blessed us to have our headquarters that I prayed about for several years, Lord, let us have a place of our own. Listen, when it comes to paying dues, we paid them. We've rehearsed in warehouses where they had no bathrooms. They had to drive off to the store to use the bathroom to come back. I mean, we've rehearsed in restaurants. We've rehearsed in living rooms. And if you know the size of TNL, we're talking 15, 16, sometimes 20 people of musicians and singers in one little area to put on a mass production. So for God to bring us where we are now, it's allowed us to service the community even more with our summer school that we do with our kids. We serviced over 100 kids in the past 3 years with all just great statistics. And big shouts out to our Children's Services Council, who we partnered with for the past 3 years to do that, as well as being a medium-sized event center for the South Side.
And a venue.
Yeah. It has great lights, sound. You know, we don't have that medium size venue here in Tallahassee. And I like to say, tag that we're the community's venue. We've had, you know, from the elected officials to all, it don't matter who you are, just come in and let's have a nice event. And it's been great to be there in the community there on the South Side.
Do you think, I have a question later for you about your ambition, but I want to kind of skip into that now. When you said a mid-sized venue, could it be one of the ambitions of TNL to maybe be like a tour stop, like a House of Blues in some cities where it's not civic center size, but it's also not a basement size. It's a medium-sized venue where artists might be able to stop through on tour dates that might bring and attract more robust names.
Yes, I don't want to give no free publicity, but you're bringing up things just over the weekend. It was a manager there at another event, and we were all talking, and he was talking about Tommy Davidson, who's going to be here on tour with Cat Williams real soon. That's a free little plug. I don't even know him.
Sure.
I'm just saying. But that adds to my story. When we got to talking about that, I remember Adrian Crutchfield, our first saxophonist, who was the last saxophonist for Prince.
He plays
with Lionel Richie, Bette Midler, CeeLo Green, everybody. And I said, you know Adrian Crutchfield? He said, Yeah, that's Tommy's, but this and this and that. And I just pointed him to the wall. Adrian is on our wall of fame of TNL. He started with TNL. So then he gets Adrian on the phone. We FaceTime. Then he gets Tommy on the phone, and we're all talking. So it just might be a little stop after. It may be a little something special when he comes to town at TNL.
I'm just going to keep my fingers crossed for it and send up a prayer myself.
Because he really can sing, too.
We could go off on a whole tangent. I think he's the most underrated comedian of all. He's the first time I belly laughed was, what was his character on Martin Vernell?
Barnell Hills.
Exactly right. And every time I see that joker, he still makes me, he's just an underrated talent who is getting his flowers, though, luckily.
Yeah.
So, the good doctor, let's talk about the event that brings you here today. is an event that will butt up against Valentine's Day. It's February the 13th at the iconic Lee Hall on the highest of Seven Hills. Talk to us a little bit about that event, whether it's the Gervaisia, Elite Chamber Orchestra, Tallahassee Nights Live, obviously, and the 24 Karat Symphony. What should the people expect?
Well, getting a call from someone who I consider a true pioneer, Ms. Patrice Floyd, getting a call from her just really made me feel, I can't even explain it. I was just on cloud nine when we talked and she had the idea. She was like, it's no reason why we shouldn't collaborate and let's team up. And I want to bring the debut of the 24 Karat Gold Symphony along with the band. You know, one of the biggest bands in our band platforms in Tallahassee. Let's do something together. I said, Ms. Floyd, really? Really? And we talked about it. We ironed it out. So you're going to have a full orchestra celebrating Black excellence, celebrating many pioneers that have gone on and paved the way for us. There's going to be a lot of honorees there, but it's going to be filled with soulful music, not just the orchestra, but along with the TNL band that we're going to be on stage at the same time playing together. And also, we brought in some of our vocalists, some of our top vocalists, man, that are going to be performing along with the Gervaisia Chamber, Elite Chamber Orchestra, and 24 Karat Gold Symphony. So this is going to be a moment that you don't want to miss. Red carpet, limo shuttles. I'm hearing everything. This is you got to dress up in your best and come on out and enjoy this night of elegance.
I heard that. Yeah. That sounds incredible. You mentioned the Gervaisia Elite Chamber Orchestra. Mm-hmm. This is no comparison because you guys both exist in such beautiful and fecund spaces. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I've always admired about Gervaisia is one of the same things that I admire about TNL, mm-hmm. your outfit, which is you guys put a large focus on not just artistry, but artist education and outreach.
Yes.
And exposure, by the way, to exposing artists. Talk to me about how important programming and community outreach is to sustain the mission that you've embarked on.
Right. Well, following trailblazers like Ms. Floyd, that's what it's all about, to and really to give our youth the opportunity to see things that they dream to be, you know, to see themselves playing violin, cellos, timpanis. You know, it's rare that, you know, that even me as a child, you know, whenever I did see a producer or a musician that looked like me doing it for a living and could instill in me some type of knowledge or encouragement, it meant so much more. It really just showed me that I can really, really do this. So I really would like everyone just bring your children, those aspiring musicians and singers, to come witness this grand event. And I think it's important to be in the community and to give back and to show the youth that they can do it too, those that want to follow in your footsteps, because I'm traveling in those that went before me.
So now I'm about to try to lift some weights that you've been lifting over the course of your life. And it's far too heavy a lift for a little skinny man like me, but I'm about to try to lift it anyway by calling out some names.
Okay.
D'Angelo.
Oh, man.
Brian McKnight.
Oh, man.
George Clinton. The Isley Brothers.
Come on.
Eric Benet. Casey and JoJo. Keith Sweat. Carl Thomas. While these may sound like superstars to the lay ears, these are actually just people who have been fortunate to perform alongside Doc D.
Yeah. I would say the other way around, fortunate, but like even the first, and I was wondering as you were naming the names, it was coming to mind, okay, I did a tour with D'Angelo, Brian McKnight, we made him get out of the pit and get on the stage in Houston. Eric Benet, I remember him kneeling down, he always was barefoot. When his background was Mary Mary, we was at the Palladium in L.A. I remember them doing Shackles, the tracks, opening up for him, and he right there beside me looking at me with the stank face, because that's what we call it when they're really getting it. Uh-huh. Like all of these people, when you were naming them, was just bringing back, you know, like memories.
Because
memories.
They're people that you have been on shared time and space with.
Yeah.
Going to smell air that rare and in some of these elite spaces, mm-hmm. what has kept you grounded all of these years?
My faith, family, a second, my wife, kids, my mother, my sister. Just, you know, I remember the late, great Bishop Payton, who was a founder and a pastor of New Covenant here. I remember him giving me a little piece of paper at a previous radio station. I am a program director currently, but another station I was at, I was there and he gave me a piece of paper that said, promotion neither comes from the east or the west. Promotion comes from God. And then he told me, stay humble. And a lot of people kind of misinterpret humble as being weak. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't. And I can still be strong and still know where my help comes from and still know, you know, that God is still in control. You know, you don't have to be a pushover to be humble. You know, that's just, my grandmother says, better to be assed up than assed down. Yeah. You know, you know, when you go and I go places, I'm just normal. I'm just regular doc. Yeah. I'm just normal doc, you know, and when God puts me in a space to perform or to make a difference, I know what time it is. I know when I'm in that space, and I know when it's time to just kind of, you know, just lay back and soak in, you know, everything that's around me. So, yeah, that's how I feel about it.
It's in the fabric of the work that you put into this community. It's in the fabric of how you walked into this studio today. I think you're a gem. And as far as terrestrial radio goes, FM and AM, you know, it's not lost on me that I'm sitting across from somebody, especially in this city, which I love more than anything on planet Earth, helped build. And so when I called you a pioneer, I wasn't egging on the cake. I was being serious.
Oh, man, I appreciate that, man.
So speaking about your humility, you have never been able to escape it, but it's almost outrun you because you have had some really cool awards. You, if I'm not mistaken, a 3-time Stellar Award nominee.
Yes.
Radio Inc. magazine calls you one of the future leaders in radio, and I guess you've proven I'm right with that. Outside of your humility, outside of your faith, outside of your work, when you're doing your work, when you're on the mission that you set out on however many years ago, is there any advice that you would give your former self as an older man? Not as an old man, as an older man.
As an older man. Utilize your time more wisely. Utilize your time more wisely, because that's something that we can never get back. And it goes to show, even with the time that we're in now, you learn more, you know more, you know, but still, even now, time management is always prevalent. Even at our age now, it doesn't have to be a younger self. Even now, if we know how to manage our time more, because we only get one life, you know, here on Earth. So sometimes we can get caught up in just the hustle and bustle and just, you know, staying busy, which I am somewhat of a workaholic, but I've been managing my time a lot better lately because, you know, as you get older, you can't do what you used to do. And you still need to make time for what's important, which is family, faith, and God. So, yeah, just utilize your time more.
You know, you said workaholic. I had in my notes, and I took them out because I didn't want to offend you, because the word hustler has two different connotations.
Oh, yeah. No, it's fine.
It's Black History Month.
Yeah, man.
And in our community, the word hustler is always a compliment.
Exactly.
And so that is the second word that I thought about. It was pioneer first, and the second word was hustler, because I have some of that in my DNA, too.
Gotcha.
If I'm not doing seven things, I almost feel socially naked. I have to be grinding in order to feel whole. And you signify that or manifest that more than just about anybody I can think of. You've always got your hands in a lot of different pots.
Right.
The modern age says that, you know, doing too many things could be a downfall because you don't ever master any one thing. Mm-hmm. I've always disagreed with that. And now that I'm talking to a hustler's hustler, I want to get your take on it. Would you rather just be doing one thing, or are you like me or whoever else and you got to be doing a couple of them?
It's funny you said that. Listen, I believe when folks say stay in your lane, those are folks that don't want you to get in their lanes. You know, this is something that God speaks about, you know, your gifts to make room for you, not singular, plural. It's many gifts that people have. I mean, and if you're gifted to be in radio, gifted to make, carpentry, whatever it is, you know, who's to say, oh, no, just do right. No. If you're able to do all of those and work those gifts and maybe even eventually those become businesses, you have people that work for you, but it's just your expertise or you're supervising them. So you still have your touch of excellence on it. I mean, get in many lanes as you can.
I agree.
As many lanes as you can, because that promotes legacy, you know, and we have kids, and even if it's not our kids, we got nieces, nephews, cousins that's coming up after us. You know, we're not going to always be here, so we need to have something to leave for them, you know, and if that equals up to multiple businesses, so be it. I have heard that saying, many trades, master of none, you know, and it may be some folks out there, but I think that's people that's working outside of their gifts.
Or working inside of fear.
Oh, I like that. Working inside of fear and outside of their gifts.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Yes, I see you with an ice cream truck. Now I want to have one because Josh has one. No,
exactly right.
Man. No, stay in your lane. Work in your gifts.
In closing, I want the last word. And I want to use it to say that I don't know why you came up with the name Doc D, but it's actually perfect. Because a doctor isn't just a healer, but a doctor is also somebody who has to perform surgery, who has to go to know. And you have not only healed this community, but you have been, in effect, a true pioneer, because there have been so many places that you have gone first, that you have showed the next class of art and culture guys like me and so many others that it is possible, that even if we can't get 8,000 square feet, we can get 4,000 square feet.
Yes.
And even if we can't facilitate 3 events a year, you can facilitate 1. And even if you can't do this, you can do that, because you showed us first. And I appreciate you. And I appreciate you all for joining us at home for another episode of The Warehouse. See you next time. Bye-bye.